Tom mentioned the sort of border of electronic literature and the distinction between electronic literature and net art, I guess, which I'm not quite sure if there is one or if that distinction is ultimately useful. I know the first time I met Mark Tribe, who runs Rhizome, which is sort of an internet art site that's sort of an international center for net art. We met, we had coffee in a place in Soho, and was sitting, sat down, and he said, "So I was looking at your at the ELO directory the other day, and I noticed that you had a lot of the same works that are in our art base that are in your directory." And he's like, "Well, I thought those were net art because they had, you know, visuals and movement." And I was like, "Well, I thought they were electronic literature because they had words and narrative and metaphors." And then we were like, "Well, I guess maybe they're both at the same time." So we're lucky to have a couple of artists next from here at UCSB. I guess, do you call yourself an artist, or Lisa?
Yes,
sir. Okay, good.
Who have the shoes from?
You could be a designer, communicator, visionary. A lot of people like visionary. But Lisa? Okay, well, in that case, I guess... Okay, well, you're younger. You're the assistant professor. Lisa Giovbratz. Giovbratz? Sorry, I grew up near Wisconsin, so whenever I see B-R-A-T, I pronounce it Brat. Is an assistant professor in the MAT and Studio Arts program at here at UCSB. And just from a quick glance at her website, I can say that she's an artist who's created several projects that use the network itself as a building material for the art.
Show a project that's not really new, but I think it relates to this issue archiving a lot. And maybe I realized then when listening and think about this that most of what I'm doing is probably related to it, because I mostly work with internet visualization. So in whatever I do, it seems like it's about taking kind of snapshots or trying to archive this unarchivable data space. So, yeah. But then it seems like this piece that I'm going to show specifically does that, because I kind of incorporated that impossibility into the piece more explicitly. It started out in 1999, where I had to make a database of existing websites for another project that I was working. It's going to take some time. We tried it before. I needed a database of websites and that I could access numerically. So, and since all computers that are connected to the internet or have a numerical address, an IP address, I realized that should be possible, but you can't just guess the number, because there's, of all the numbers of computers, most of them don't have websites on them, right? Because like this computer right now doesn't have a website on it, so I can't just guess. I needed to actually confirm which numbers had websites on them. So I started out doing this database of addresses, and it turned out to be this project that consisted, or first it was, I was using the database from another project, and then I realized that the database itself, this address book basically, was just really interesting in itself. Just the fact that I had this big depository of existing websites, which were websites that we typically don't find, because it's websites that are not kind of advertised, but they're like the websites that you would find if you just kind of go around and knock door on the internet, kind of, or it's someone here, it's someone here, it's someone here. It's not the people that actually want to be found. So I had this interesting database, and I decided to do five interfaces to the database. And then, this was how one of the interfaces looked then in 1999. And each pixel in this image represents one website, and I had a way of devising the color for the pixel by just taking part of the number that constitutes the website and use that for the RGB color. So then I easily kind of get this big, the picture that is actually links to 180,000 websites. And you click on it, and you're actually, so this is the number of that website, and it's trying to take us there. So, like I said, this was in 1999, and exactly, what ended up happening very soon, were actually, this project kind of didn't die, people got interested in it, and I was going to exhibit it in 2002. Last year at the Whitney Biennial, it seemed like it was an important place to show something, and I didn't want to give them a project that didn't work. So I was like, God, what do I do now? Because this was really the case. You click around here, and it was supposed to be this interface to the whole web, kind of. And kind of this hubris kind of website that leads to everything else, and everything else wasn't there anymore. So, yeah, you see, it's like almost anywhere I click, it's kind of, there's nothing, there's nothing there. So, what I realized then that would be interesting to do is to go back and just kind of scan the whole web again. And actually, it's not the whole web, because the web, or the whole internet, there's an enormous amount of addresses, there's an enormous amount of possible websites. So I just went through some of them, but I did it kind of with increments, so it's basically like a low resolution image of the internet, as opposed to kind of just a slice of the internet. So I went back and did the same sample again, and recreated the project with where I kind of made a split screen type of interfaces instead. So I had five interfaces, and each interface I kind of divided up to two. And I created a new interface, which we'll show soon. So then now, but again, this was in fall of 2001, so of course again this has happened, it doesn't really work anymore. But it's a little bit more likely that you actually get somewhere if you click down here. So I was kind of a little bit disconcerted when I realized this. Seems like before we actually get somewhere. This is a very typical web page. The web is not pornography and like commercial websites and people's pets. It's really like this type of login pages and print monitors, and it's a lot of military sites that you can't get access to. That's basically what the web is. Just to prove that kind of, this is one visualization where you get to see the red indicates that you don't get access, and the green indicates that you get access. You see, actually, in 1999, it was more a closed space than it is now. But the what?
Lower green.
The green?
Yeah.
The green means that you can actually go there.
Right.
Or you could. But for me, it somewhat felt just by doing this split screen and kind of showing that this was, yeah, so this is very typical. But that showing that in 1999 and 2001, it's a difference, and now people can just go here and it doesn't need to work anymore. So it's just by showing that this is about archiving a space that's not possible to archive, I kind of solved the problem of archiving it. So I don't feel like I need to do a third version of it now, because it's kind of, it says what it says. So, what I also did when I was working on it, I realized, first I thought when I sort of click around in my old interface and I realized I can't get anywhere, oh my, the web is dying. Because I lived in Silicon Valley and all my friends were laid off, and everybody I worked on the web with website development, they're all laid off. So it just seemed like, oh my, the web actually died, and that's too bad, and I kind of really liked the web. So, yeah, I mean, I had a lot invested in the hypertext transfer protocol, basically, so because this was the kind of stuff I was doing. So I was quite depressed about it. But then when I started to do this, I realized that the web was still there, because I got this new interface, right? So then I wanted to overlay them. I wanted to look at what had happened, and I made this interface, which is an image of the whole internet. And so the white space here, the white image is the whole internet. All possible addresses on the internet are represented here. And the first pixel up here represents the first 255 possible numbers, possible addresses. And the last one, the last 255 possible numbers. And then I just used my database to kind of fill in where, or my program was filling in where the web was located, which is the red, in 1999, and where it was located in 2001, or this was, I think, 2002, like a year ago I made this. And the black areas would be the areas where they're actually overlapping. So that's where the web has been for a while. So you see, to begin with, a large part of the web, a large part of the internet is not, doesn't have the web on it to begin with at all. There's no websites on most of the internet. It's just empty space, or it's other services on there. But then you can really see that it didn't die, but it moved. So I call this interface migration. So you see, it's quite stunning how, like, these red areas, all these red areas is where the web was in 1999, and the green where it is now. And it's not in many places, it's overlapping. So I don't know what happened, but it really kind of, like some kind of slime mold or something, you know, after the forest, it just kind of moved. It just, like, migrated. So, so this is then also an interface to the whole internet, or to the whole web at least. So if we click on one of the red ones, the size of the blob, or the size of the stain shows how many websites is represented by the middle pixel. So each pixel could potentially represent 255 websites. If it's a tiny spot like there, it's probably just like one website it represents. Like there, this website, but if it's a larger one, it might be up to 255. So it's kind of like one of those earthquake kind of representations. It's also logarithmic, actually. So this one shouldn't be there anymore because it's represented with red. Yeah, so it says it didn't respond. While if we click on in the middle of a black one, we get the list that looks like this, and the red ones then, so some of them are actually were there then and were there 2001. Some of them were recent additions. Well, of course, might be gone. Yeah, maybe the black might still, because they were already there for so many years, maybe those are the more... What? Okay, there we got something, but with quite interesting character set. Yeah, I were, yeah. So, that is what this system is indicating. The way I think about this image is really much, I don't think about it as a kind of a symbolic representation of this space, but I really think about it more as a frottage. That is not an English word, I think, but might be understood. When you take a rubbing, exactly. I think about it more as a rubbing. So it's more like it's a stain or a kind of a rub off of the internet onto this surface in some way. And the number here.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just like on a map when it says it's like Hamburg or something. It's like a spot. It's just to show you, can give you kind of an orientation. So that this pixel here would represent 64600. So I just put some of those out there just to show where you are kind of in the space. So really, I feel when I'm working with this is some type of image that has a new type of quality to it, which is not, it's representational in a kind of a new way. And it's indexical, while we typically think about computers as not being kind of material, not data being material, here it starts to, for me, feel like you're actually having a physical trace of the data. And that's kind of what I'm going for in this. So that was probably 10 minutes, which I was had. So. Okay.
Did you use the services on the web?
What?
Did
No, I never did, actually, but I mean, that's completely, that could be a continuation of this. What I've done instead after this is to kind of more working on developing a system and where people can more define how they want it to be visualized. It's more like a visual search engine, and I've been working on that system for like a year or something. And because there's so many things you can do, so that's one of the things that people then can use my system to develop, because I got so many ideas from doing this that I just felt like I can't spend the rest, I don't have time enough to actually realize it. So this was a little bit more of a mysterious interface that I did more as a way of explaining to myself what I was doing. So it's more about my search method, and basically shows where I have been looking and where I have not been looking and where I've been finding things. But in this is kind of interesting because you can actually go in and look at any IP address. And here, I'll show something. You can also see where I am right now. This is, you know, on maps, you are here. So this is where this computer in this room is right now. So I can kind of try to find. Now, of course, I don't have a web server on this computer. So this is a representation of part of the octets, and one of those pixels in there is me right now, but it's a little... Oh, there, it's that little... That one. Oh, okay. Yeah, then the thing is that this system exists on some state where I was working before, and the system administrator there is kind of tired of keeping my projects... things set up so that my work, so it doesn't work, I can't get there, but some program that doesn't, it's not configured anymore, so there is an archival issue for you. Yeah, there was just something specific with that little program that ran, yeah, that part of some variable that doesn't work there. But here you can kind of navigate the web or the internet completely by yourself. Like I can go decide, if you look down the bar there, I can decide that I want to check out 128.40.50.700, that address myself. My crawlers haven't been there, but this is an interface where the user themselves can go out and search any possible IP address kind of through this visual interface. But it's a little bit more obscure. It's just this also kind of shows where I've been looking and where I haven't been looking. And I kind of use it as a way to decide, okay, next set of crawlers I send out, they need to go and look kind of here and here and here and here and so on. So that's how I really was using it. So that was one interface. This is the raw, kind of the most raw interface of this, because I actually stored my address book as a directory structure, and that was something I was really interested in, but it kind of started to get really geeky here, so I typically don't show it, but I store the addresses on the internet are, these IP addresses are constructed by four octets, and you can think about them as almost like as a directory structure where you have a number starting on four, and after four, you have 255 possible other. So a number can start with four, and if I click there, then so the number could be four, and then something between 0 and 255, and so on. So that's how I constructed the whole database, because it was just a really efficient way to not use a commercial database software, but to just use the operating system, the built-in search mechanism of the operating system. So for me, that was one of the
my fault.
I think it is. So it was one of the aesthetic kind of beautiful aspects of this was this directory structure. And like I said, it was a friend of mine in the group I'm working with, C5, who came up with this. He just said, oh, you should sort this as a directory structure. And I just loved it. So this is a representation of that. It's just a way of navigating the web as if the web was a directory structure on your own drive. And again, this is the places I found in 1999. And here I also got an opportunity to actually put the date in exactly when those sites were found, when the crawlers found the sites. So, oh, this was actually found on my birthday. Huh. Interesting. Wow, that's sweet. Yeah. So, yeah. Now I wander off. I was just going to show that picture of the... So I don't know what to say about this at this point, really. I also made just my, you know, old search engines, at that point, 1999, when I did it, they had a random button. And it was kind of ridiculous, I thought, because it's just random amongst what, you know, they have just a few things in there. And at that time, in 1999, I mean, the databases were so small, and you just got one of those commercial sites, and they were all the same kind of, but this was actually kind of the real random, you can actually find the real random site. So it generates a random IP address, but then, of course, in the end, my database, I mean, it had to kind of match them with the numbers that were in my database, so it's still not completely random, but it's I think it's a more, in some sense, more random than, and again, so you see, I did this the whole, all the way through, I kind of, the old interface and the new interface, you can kind of compare them. But again, it might not, we might not find anything. What? Yeah, no, it's... Yeah, it's kind of looking through...
So what percent of all possible IP addresses are actually file addresses?
Well, I guess I did never... I never kind of checked them. I know I looked at 2% of them. I never... check how many I never did the calculations on how many I found compared to how many I looked at. When I started, I mean, my background is really as an artist. I'm not a computer scientist. I'm not anything else. So I don't know really when I get into something like this that I should kind of think about these things and keep track. I'm just kind of led along more like a painter maybe, or which is kind of more my background. So I'm just doing it intuitively, but then I realized afterwards that, oh, I should have kept track of this, or I should have kept track of that. Most of my stuff is kind of, it just turns out to be this visual stuff, and there's not much else there to kind of, so it's, I'm naive, kind of, which I think is also strength, but it's also, I can't go back and kind of redo things easily. Okay, so we did find a random, wait. Yeah, I think that's, it's,
thank you.